Jesus. Hallelujah.
We're going to continue on. We're doing a series on living the Spirit-led life or the Spirit-empowered life when we started last week. Amen. And we last week was lesson one. We're doing lesson two today. There's so much to really, when we talk about having a foundation and really knowing the Holy Spirit, there's so much to talk about here and to relay to you know, this is what the Lord is relaying to me and to us as a church right now. He wants us to be in the know. So last week we spoke about understanding the Trinity. We spoke about the power of God through the Holy Spirit, and we spoke about knowing the Holy Spirit. And this week, today, we're going to be talking about becoming dependent on the Holy Spirit. So many of us have a problem being dependent on the Holy Spirit, don't we? Amen? A lot of us, and even some people that I speak to, they just want to be in control of situations, and they don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead them in whatever it is that's going through their life. Amen. So, but we need to become more and more dependent on the Holy Spirit. Because remember, He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what tomorrow brings. He knows what the future is going to bring. And He's the one that said in His Word that He's got such great plans for us. Great plans, not just hopeful plans, but plans to prosper us. Amen. They're good plans. And this is what the Lord wants, but He wants your dependency to be on Him and not on yourself. Amen. So I want you to turn to the Gospel of, not the Gospel, the first book of John. First book of John, towards the end of the Bible. And we're going to go to chapter 2, verse 27, and that's where we're going to begin today's lesson. First John 2, 27. Amen. If you're there, let me know.
Amen.
And it says, but the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you.
Amen.
And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. Amen? So let me ask you something. Do you really need someone or somebody else to share with you what God is like? Let me ask you another question. Do you really need somebody else's revelation? The answer is no. Because why? What is saying? We're already anointed. We have been already redeemed. That means we're born again. That means we are saved. That means that we now, as children of God, we can know God personally. We can know God personally. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember the Lord, you know, yes, the Lord has gifted many people in ministry. In this platform alone, God has gifted each and every one of you. You know you all have gifts. Gifts in the Spirit. So God has truly gifted the body of Christ. And He's gifted you, and He's even instructed you how to use your gifts. And those gifts, He brings them into perfection. Because remember, God is perfect, and the perfect one is the one residing in the inside of you.
That's
Amen?
Right.
So He's the one that is perfecting the gifts in us. Amen? God is the one perfecting my teaching gift in me because I have been willing to go to school for one, be in His Word, and tune into His voice. This is how far I've gotten because I've been faithful to His calling. I've been faithful and to hear what He has said about the church, about the ministry, and even about my life. How God brought me from one position, you know, where I worked to another position, God led me to those positions. I heard a voice, and I follow His lead, and I am where I am because of Him. You are where you are because of God. Amen. We're not here by coincidence in this platform. We are here because God ordained us to be here. Amen. For such a time. So this isn't saying that we don't need others' insights, right? This isn't saying that we can't benefit from what other people have to say. No, we're here. We're in this platform. You know, you listen to the Word of God through me. You listen through the Word of God through Brother Mark when he reads the psalm. You listen to Sister Dorcas when she opens the service. You listen to Sister Vinnie when she reads Scripture. Week after week, we listen to Pastor Ruth when she comes to teach. We go online and we listen to other ministers. So he's not saying that we can listen to other people. No. What he's saying that because all of us are not redeemed, we're all of us are believers, we have our own personal teacher in the person of the Holy Spirit, the one who has anointed you and I to understand and know the truth of the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And I want to add this. Hey, listen, you know, I can be talking to you and you can receive revelation, right? But that revelation is, you know, don't take my revelation, the revelation I got from the Lord. Get your own revelation from God. That's the one, because that revelation from God that you're receiving is going to apply to your life. Amen. The revelation that I share from me is the revelation that God gave me, and it applies to my life at that moment that He gave it to me. And certainly you can learn from it if you are experiencing the same thing that I'm speaking about, or the same experiences that I'm talking about. Yes, you can grab hold of that revelation, but at the same token, you can have your own. Because now you've been anointed. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living in the inside of you. And all we got to do is show up to the Lord. Show up to His class. Right? And let our personal teacher, which is the Holy Spirit, teach us and instruct us. That's all we got to do. And those, the Word of God says that those who draw on the ministry of the Holy Spirit will abide in the doctrine of Christ, which is the foundational teachings, the divine nature, and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Church, we need to be in the know. This is why God has me teaching about living in the, a power and power life in the Spirit. Because He wants us to be in the know. He wants you to be walking in the supernatural. We were natural, but then He added the super to us. We are supernatural beings living in a human body. God is the one working through us because God resides now in us. We can walk in the supernatural because everything that we do is being guided by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So God needs us to be in the know. So in this lesson, we're also going to talk about becoming aware that we shouldn't be relying on our own wisdom and knowledge. Amen? Because we got the perfect teacher. We got the perfect teacher. We got a counselor. We got a helper. We have an assistance to us on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit is there with us 24/7. That's why the Word of God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The power of the mighty God is residing in you. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs and let's go to chapter 14, verse 12. The book of Proverbs 14, verse 12. And this is what it says. It says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Should I repeat that again? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Amen. This is scripture speaking here. Notice that this is speaking of one way, right? In scripture, we're reading, there is one way and one end. But there are many ways that one error leads to the one end. In other words, the Word of God warns us against relying solely on human reasoning, emotions, or personal desires. Again, this is the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us. The Word of God reveals truth to us. The Word of God illuminates our minds. The Word of God is continually revealing to us His truth. And as we read the Word of God, we are receiving God's understanding, divine understanding, godly understanding. And what the Word is saying here, don't rely on your ways. We need to rely on God's ways, what He's saying. Don't rely on your reasoning. Don't rely on your emotions, because they can deceive you. Don't rely on your feelings. Don't rely on your personal desires, because they can deceive you. And guess what? It can ultimately lead you to ruin. That's what this verse just said.
That's right. Amen.
It may lead to death. It will lead you to ruin. Amen. And one of my favorite verses from Proverbs is found in Proverbs 3:5. So let's go there. Proverbs 3:5. And it says here, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. I mean, this is very clear. And if you read from verse 1, this very chapter 3, all it's doing is promoting the benefits of godly understanding. Again, we need to be in the know, but we need to be in the know of what God is saying to us. To be in the know of His wisdom, right? And verses 3:5, what it's saying is speaking about our own human understanding, which is not something that you should be relying on. Amen? No, we got to trust the Lord. We got to trust the Lord with everything we have, with all our heart. And we cannot be leaning on our own human reasoning. Remember, the original sin of Adam and Eve was exalted because of their own reasoning above that of God. The devil deceived them by quoting, by speaking about God, but it was a lie. What he was saying was a lie against God. Amen? So there is a supernatural wisdom and understanding that comes from God. And we have access to that. We have the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's revealing truth, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So we as believers, we need to rely on this God-given wisdom and understanding and not our own. And God imparts this understanding through His Word. Read the Word of God. And as you begin to read the Word of God, watch, He brings understanding. He brings revelation. And if you don't understand something, just ask, Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me? Can you just open the Word up to me? Can you just illuminate my mind? I really need to understand what you're trying to tell me. How can I apply what I'm reading to my life right now?
Mm-hmm.
And God is faithful. He will. He will give you that desire that you want. He will answer you. Because God wants us to go to Him first over above all things. Amen. So He, you know, not just relying on Him, but going to Him first, seeking Him first above all things. And you know, the scripture that he took me to was Matthew 6:33. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. Again, we're laying a foundation. We're laying a foundation about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and how that, the power that we have inside of us, you know, how we get to work it out. Amen? We're getting a foundation of it. So in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." He's talking about all this, all the things that He spoke about in previous verses. You know, don't worry about what to eat. Don't worry about what to put on. You know, people worry about so many things. Amen? But the reality is that when we put God first in our lives, God will supernaturally take care of all our needs. Supernaturally. And when God starts supplying our needs, He will do it better than we ourselves could ever do. Because that's the truth. Because God takes care of us better than we can take care of ourselves. This is why we need to lean on Him and not lean on our own understanding. The verse continues on to say, in all, acknowledge Him in all the ways. We need to acknowledge the Lord. Remember, God is El Shaddai. He is our source. He is all sufficient. He is the ultimate provider. And when God gives, guess what? He gives extravagantly.
Amen.
He gives with an overflow. He opens up the floodgates of heaven.
Yes, He does.
So that you don't have, you know, there's not enough room for you to contain all the blessings that He has for us. Amen? And when, you know, and that's the reality. When He begins to supply to us, man, I'm telling you, the supply will be extravagant. Because it is, because it's coming from God Himself. Amen. And notice here in scripture, he says, there's a word that says here, seek first. So he uses the word first. This is speaking of priorities.
That's right.
So we have to focus, you know, our attention on
first.
Yeah. Definitely on the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the earthly things should never be our priority. Focusing on or putting our attention on earthly things should never be our priority. God and His kingdom should always come first in our priorities. And when they are, when we place them first, He supernaturally takes care of all the natural things that we need. Amen?
That's right. It says all. Mm-hmm.
Yes, He doesn't say, exactly, He doesn't say some, He says all. All things shall be added to you. That's powerful. And let me give you an illustration. Solomon, remember Solomon, the son of David? The second son of David, because remember the first one passed due to the sin that David committed. Amen. But the greatest example that really somebody can give is about Solomon. Because when the Lord asked Solomon what he wanted, guess what he did? He put God first. He put God first. He put God's kingdom first ahead of his own needs. Because he didn't want the riches. He wanted wisdom to really know how to govern the land of Israel.
Amen.
And we know that this came to pass.
Yeah.
The Lord God granted wisdom and knowledge to Solomon. Amen. And you can read that in 2 Chronicles. We're not going to go there, but in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, you can read that about the Lord granting wisdom and knowledge to Solomon on how to build the temple and how to bring solutions, you know, between two people, how to resolve problems. God gave them the wisdom. But not only did he, because Solomon didn't ask for riches and he asked for wisdom, guess what? God blessed him supernaturally with riches, with wealth, and with honor. And the scripture, you know, tells you that no other king in the land of Israel or in the world has ever received so much in the way that God extravagantly blessed him. And I truly believe nobody else will ever will. Amen. This is like a one and done. I mean, God just, amen. I mean, Solomon made history here in the Old Testament. Amen. But it's just an example how when we put God first, how God supernaturally just takes care of everything that we need, even things that we didn't ask for, maybe because, you know, we didn't think we deserved them, but God gifted you anyway and blessed you with it anyway. Amen. Because we serve an awesome and great God. He is a God of goodness and he wants good for his children. Amen. And another thing, it is tempting to turn God's directive, right, into a method or technique. You know, a lot of times when I first began to serve the Lord, I began to get into this routine. But it was a routine that it wasn't pleasing to God. And I kept, you know, feeling guilty or condemned if at this particular time I didn't open the Word and begin to read and this, and that. And God is not into routines like that. He's not into works. He's not into performance. No, we serve a God of grace. Amen. You know, we serve an awesome and mighty God. You know, I want to show you something from the book of First Chronicles. Amen. Let's go to the book of First Chronicles in the Old Testament. And let's go to chapter 14. God is faithful. God really is faithful. We have such a better covenant today. Boy, I'm just glad I'm living in the New Testament kingdom right now.
Right.
Amen. I'm not in the kingdom of that law where there was so much law. Mm-hmm. But in First Chronicles of chapter 14, we're gonna read from verse 8. And it says here, now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. Amen. So all this to say that, listen, David had an issue. The Philistines, right, had invaded Israel. And most people would have been committed maybe to fighting them on their own, simply asking God for his intervention on their behalf. But David did more than that. He began to inquire of the Lord whether he should fight them or not. You see, there's a difference. So David went. He put God first. He inquired of the Lord and said, you know, God, should I fight these Philistines or what? What should I do? And this is very similar to the way that most people do what they think is right and ask God to bless their plans. But see, people are doing what they think what in their minds they think is right. And then they ask God. Then later on, afterwards, they ask God to bless their plans.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's wisdom. It is this. We're talking about wisdom, about understanding. It is wisdom to inquire of the Lord and get his plan. That's wisdom. That's walking in God's wisdom. That's walking and relying in God's understanding. Because when we go to God first, when we put him first in everything we do, we have guaranteed success, just like David had. You see, David went and inquired, and the Lord said, yes, fight them, because You will win. You will succeed. You will have the victory. You know what confidence that gives us? Amen. That when we inquire the Lord and He tells us what to do, that the victory is already there. It's already ours. We are winners. We win. Because when we go to God and He shows us what we need to do, how we need to do it, and when we need to do it, there is a guaranteed success in that. Amen. But when we go on our own, when we begin to rely on our own understanding, as we read before, it leads to ruin. It leads to defeat. You will not prosper in the things that you are doing on your own understanding. And yes, and that's why it says that it is very tempting to turn to God, God's directive, into a method. Well, a method, okay, maybe I should do this, and maybe I ask God, can you intervene, instead of inquiring, God, what should I do? See, we're asking God to do something when in fact we should be asking Him, what shall we do? There's a difference. In what we're telling Him what to do, but the other one is asking Him what we need to do. What shall we do? So there is a different, there's a different method here. And it's very tempting for us to, you know, ask God to do A, B, and C, when in fact we should be asking God what we should be doing, not what He should be doing, right? What are we supposed to do, God? Can you give us direction? Amen.
Amen.
Just like Jeremiah, remember Jeremiah. Let's go to the prophet Jeremiah. Let's go to verse 29. And let's go. To, I'm gonna begin in chapter 29:12. Let's go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:12. It says here, then you will call upon me, right, and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And from scripture we know that David searched God with all his heart. Amen. And what the scripture is saying, well, it's related to verse 10. Right? Because in verse 10 of this same chapter, it says, it's a prophetic word from the Lord, right? That was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And the Lord was saying in verse 10, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, right? I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place, meaning Jerusalem, right? So here, what God is saying, this is an extension. The verses we just read is an extension to verse 10, right? Because the prophetic word of the prophecy that He gave was that after 70 years, right, the Lord would return the Israelites back to their land of Israel. So when the 70 years had come, then they would pray, and the Lord would answer the prayer and end their captivity that they had, right? Remember, they were held captive in Babylon, right? They were in exile for 70 years. Amen? But the Lord is giving them a word here that after this happens, that if you will seek me, you will definitely find me. And if you seek me with all your heart and whatever you ask, I will answer you. I will answer you, says the Lord. You know, this is why the Lord says in the New Testament, He says, ask, seek, and knock, right? Because those who ask, receive. Those who seek, find. And those who knock, the door will be open.
Amen.
And then in James 4, you know, the Lord says, we have not because we ask not. So we need to be asking things of the Lord, but asking Him not in a selfish way, right? But God, what you have us to do? How should we proceed? God, how can I solve this issue that I have right now? And that many people, I've heard many people say, you know, the Lord the Lord hasn't answered their prayers, you know? But this verse is making it very clear that those who seek the Lord with all their hearts and who make a connection with God, right, they will receive an answer from Him. And the reality is that not every believer, amen, calls out to the Lord. They, you know, when there's an issue, we go to our spouse, we go to friends, we go to co-workers, but yet we don't put God first. We don't go out and seek the help of the Lord first. Amen? And the reality is, not everyone also, when they seek of the Lord, they don't always get what they want. Because a lot of time, what we're asking is not really the will of God. Or we're just asking amiss. We're asking for things that really are not good for us. Amen? So we got to be careful what we ask for. And we got to be careful what we're leaning on. What understanding are we leaning on? Because again, it leads to defeat. It leads to death. It leads to ruin. Amen? Hallelujah. That's the reality. That's the truth. And this is another reality. Sometimes people just want enough, right? They just want enough help to get out of the mess they're in. That's the reality. But then after they get the help, they go right back to living a life of rebellion against God. That's our reality. And that's not how it works. The Word of God says that those who seek the Lord with all their hearts will find Him. And you can go to Matthew 7:7. Those who seek the Lord with all their hearts, they'll find Him. Amen?
Amen.
And this is another reality. This is another truth. Just because we defeat something once doesn't mean we will never deal with it again. Amen?
Amen.
How many of us have had issues maybe 5 years ago, and now this year, this issue's coming up again. Amen. Just like David, you know, when we read about David, you know, he went through a lot, right? He went through a lot. He had a lot of fights, you know, there was a lot of battles in his life while he was king, right? But, you know, the same way that God told him to fight one army, it wasn't the same way that God told him to fight the other armies. Amen. There was a different strategy. Because God gives us strategies. And maybe the first strategy that He gave you to defeat one area of your life doesn't mean that He's going to give you, that He wants you to use the same strategy for the second time around. Because you need to inquire of the Lord. God, I know I defeated this area in my life 5 years ago. Now it's showing up again. Now I'm being tempted again. How can I, Lord, I'm inquiring of you. How can I defeat this time? And God may have a different strategy 5 years later. That's why we cannot lean on our own understanding. Amen?
Amen.
I'm sharing with you truth. Revelation that God has given me. Revelation from the Word of God. So you know, when the armies came against David, maybe a second time, right? It wasn't David's fault. It was the persistence of the enemy. The enemy's constantly coming and fight. He wanted to defeat David through maybe different armies. But it wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. Likewise, our enemy, Satan, the devil, often fights us over the same things we've already gained victory over. Amen. Have you noticed that? You know, we defeated this. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe smoking. Let's put smoking. Maybe you were delivered from smoking 5 years ago, but now there's people hanging around you, or you hanging around them that are smoking. Now you're being tempted to smoke. And some of us may even grab just one. I'm just going to have one, Lord. I'm just going to have one cigarette. the enemy. The enemy is constantly tempting us. Amen?
That's right.
He is.
Yeah. Yes.
So listen, you know, going up against the enemy, you know, the way that at first David inquired, maybe it worked that the first time, but it may not work the second time. Maybe God wants to give you a different strategy the second time. And that happened with David. The second time around, God gave him a different battle plan. You see? Remember Joshua and the Jericho walls? Man, God gave him strict orders to march around in the city. Strict orders. People probably thought he was crazy. But if the Lord tells you to do something crazy, you do it because it is God telling you to do it. Because
that's
you
right.
will succeed in that plan. You will succeed in that area. So David, even with the second time, David and his men fought another battle. And guess what? God won the battle for them. Because
right.
God is in everything that we do. Amen? See, the Lord wants us to do things in Him. But our trust must always be in the Lord, not in our own efforts. When we lean in our own efforts, when we do it our way, that's when we mess things up. And sometimes we can make them worse. Amen?
Amen.
So again, you know, we're talking about becoming dependent on the Holy Spirit, about not relying on our own understanding, right? And relying on godly wisdom. Godly wisdom. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit here. So the Holy Spirit is the key player of the new covenant. And we know that. And God desires all creation to walk and commune with Him. Amen. That's His desire. That we as children of God, that we will walk and commune with Him all the time. Amen. So let's go to the book of Romans. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 6. I pray that the Lord is just depositing things into you this morning and just bringing revelation. Amen. As you're reading the Word of God. Romans 7:6 says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Amen. This, you know, if you read it, and I'm not going to go there because of time, but if you begin to read, you know, chapter 7 and verses 1, starting in verse 1, right, the first six verses of Romans 7, and Paul is just saying here that we are literally loosed from the law, that we are free from the law. He's talking about the Old Testament law, right? We're dead to the law. You know, we've been delivered from the law. You know, that's what this is saying. And today we're not under the law. We are under the new covenant. Amen. We are under the Spirit of the Lord. We don't follow the new covenant ways, right? The Lord Jesus came to not to abolish the law, but He came to fulfill it. It was already done. It was taken care of at the cross. Amen. So again, this is what we have, right? We're talking about the Lord. We're talking about grace now, right? You know,
yes.
we in the Old Testament was about law, about performing, about earning, about being self-righteous. But in the New Covenant, it's all about grace. It has nothing to do with performing for God. It has nothing to do about earning. It was a gift from God. You didn't need to do anything to earn the love of God, to earn His gift of redemption. It just all you needed to do was accept His Son as Lord and Savior. Accept the fact that the Lord Jesus, you know, was sent by God, lived a life, died at the cross, but resurrected on the third day. And because of that, redemption took place and we are forgiven for past, present, and future sins. We're not under the law anymore. We are born again believers.
Amen.
And the Lord taught this. The Lord taught this in the Gospels. Paul taught this to the church. Amen. And you know, a believer is someone who's filled with Christ Himself. And a believer is the one that fulfills, right, the real sense of God, of what God called us to do. We are His vessels. We are His feet. We are His hands. Amen? We have been filled now with the Holy Spirit. We have been, now we're under grace. We're under the new covenant. We receive Christ by faith, not by what we had to do in the Old Testament. We had to do and obey and do things, and if we didn't do the things that God asked us to do, we would be cursed. A lot of times we would be facing death in the Old Testament, but that was under the law. But we're not under the law, we're under grace. Amen. And God is not looking at what at your deeds like He did in the Old Testament ways. Now He's looking at our hearts, because God is more pleased with someone who has a pure heart than someone that fails Him maybe in actions, right? God doesn't look at your failures. God looks at your heart. Amen. God doesn't look at if you're doing the right thing or not. No, God looks at your heart, and if you're doing the right thing with a pure heart, that's what He's interested in. But a lot of people do the right things, but don't have the right motive. Amen?
Amen.
We can do something right for somebody, but our intentions are not pleasing to God. Okay, I'm going to do this for you, but in the back of my head, but in turn, you better do this for me. In back of their head. You know what I mean? The intentions of the heart are not pleasing to God when somebody acts in that manner. So here it's saying, it's talking about in verse, you know, 7, 6, talking about, you know, we are in the newness of the Spirit now, not in the oldness of the letter, right? So, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, there's a contrast here. It's letter versus Spirit, right? Which is a contrast in Deuteronomy that said life versus death. Which one are you going to choose? You going to choose life or you going to choose death? Are you going to choose the letter or are you going to choose the Spirit?
The Spirit.
Amen? So, we have a choice every day. We can either live in the Spirit, or we can live in the flesh, in the law, in the letter, in the carnal ways. So, there's a choice, right? In the Old Testament, right, the law was a single complete system that demanded perfect obedience to all its precepts. Listen, 613 laws, you broke one, you broke them all. Nobody can live under the Old Testament. It was impossible. This is why God sent His Son. Amen?
Amen.
So in the Old Testament, in order for the person to be justified by the law, a person had to keep all the law all the time or come under a curse. That's how it was then. Amen? And I found this very interesting, but, you know, in the Old Testament, right? In the Old Testament, 3,000 were killed at the first Pentecost when the law was given. 3,000 people were killed. And that's found in Exodus. I don't have time. I really want to do a study on this. That was found in Exodus 32:28. But fast forward in the book of Acts, when Pentecost took place, when the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 were saved. You see the contrast?
Yeah.
The letter kills, the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
The law killed, but the Spirit gave us a born-again life.
Yeah.
We were saved. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, listen, true Christianity, right, is not the observance of a different set of rules that some other religion, you know, maybe speak of, right? It is a change of heart. God is looking at our hearts. I don't know about you, but, you know, I can speak for all of us. When we came to the Lord, when we accepted the Lord, there was a change in our hearts that took place.
Yes.
You know, there was a change of mindset. We went from wrong thinking to godly thinking, you know, and say, you know what? No, we're going to believe. I believe by faith that the Lord died for me. I believe by faith that, God, you love me. You really love me. You sent his son, your only son. You really love me. So our hearts change.
Yes.
And this is the reality. The reality is that once your heart changes, then you will have that desire to serve the Lord. Amen. And not because you have to, but it is because you want to.
Yes.
Because the reality is that men apart from God, if you're apart from God, you're going to sin. You're going to continue to sin. But when you're connected to God, you're no longer a sinner. You become a saint. And that means you can be tempted, but now you have the power to say no to that sin. Amen? So there's a difference. There's a difference. I remember when I gave my heart to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, I gave you my all. You know, what would you have me do? You know, I just wanted to serve in any way. I couldn't be a teacher because I was a new believer. I couldn't teach on Sunday school. I couldn't be on the worship team. I'm not one. That's not my gift. I didn't even know I had a teaching gift at the time. Amen. I said, I'll do anything. And I just joined the cleaning ministry, and I started cleaning toilets. Because I wanted to serve God. I wanted to give him thanks. So, Lord, I just want to pay back in some form, shape or form of what you've done for me today. I'm born again. I have joy now. I have peace now. You know? So that was my, you know, I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I wanted to. You know? Mm-hmm. I wanted to serve the Lord in that way. So you know, It is impossible, really is impossible for an unbeliever to receive a revelation from God. It's impossible. In order for us to be in the know and to receive the wisdom of God, the revelation knowledge of God, we have to be born again. We got to receive a revelation from God himself. Amen. And we got to have a change of nature, which is our hearts. And only the new birth can do that. And we all been born again. And we can actually say that we've experienced that. We experienced the change of heart. We experienced the desire to serve God. We are experiencing today the revelation of God's truth in our lives. Amen? It's a reality. Amen? Oh, my God, 48 minutes? Are you kidding me? Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, I'm not even done with part. Oh my goodness, I can't. Oh my gosh, I can't. I just briefly looked at the time. I'm like, what? All right, I'm not gonna be able to finish this today. This lesson too. Oh my goodness, there's so much church. There is so much God wants to say, and
I so much meat.
There is a lot of meat here, and it's crazy because as God is speaking, right? He just brings me to, and he reminds me of these little things that I need to share with you, like the cleaning ministry, right? But it's for you to understand, you know, what God is saying, you know? So I'm just going to have probably maybe one more verse. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, this is God. Anyway, oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, this is so good, right? But, you know, when we look, you know, I mean, we're talking about the Holy Spirit being the key player in our new covenant, in our new birth, right? And now because the Holy Spirit is living and residing in us, you know, God desires intimacy. God desires communion, unity with us, right? And as we know from Scripture, Adam and Eve, they walked and they talked with God. They live in a place of holy communion with Him, right? What about Noah? What about Abraham? They didn't have a Bible, but yet they walked with God. They heard God. God sent angels to speak to them. God had communion with them. And Israel, unfortunately, right? Israel, right? Their communion with God was not where God wanted it. Israel just rebelled against God. I mean, God did something great. He took them out of Egypt. He took them out of that bondage and that captivity. But yet, they rebelled against God, right? And, you know, in the Old Testament, right, the promise of the Israelites being with God, they are God's special people, right? They are God's peculiar treasure, as the word calls it, right? It was conditional because it was about them obeying His voice, right? This is talking about the old covenant, right? You know, their blessings and their promises that God has for them was conditional. They needed to obey the voice of God. They needed to keep His covenant. But unfortunately, the Israelites, they failed against God. And therefore, the promise that God had for them didn't really reach its full potential. Remember, it took them 40 years. 40 years to reach the Holy Land. And remember that it was just Joshua and Caleb and his generation that made it in. The rest died. Right? And today, church, we have a much, much better relationship. We have a new covenant. We have a covenant full of God's promises that are not dependent on our obedience and holiness. Mm. I mean, that is key, church. Our blessings are not dependent on our obedience or holiness. Everything that we have, church, everything that we have is available through faith in Christ alone.
Yes.
And we are already God's peculiar people. And I'm going to end with 1 Peter 2:9. That's going to be my last verse. I cannot believe that the time just left. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to end there. My goodness, I'm in awe. Okay, 1 Peter 2, is that what it is? 1 Peter 2:9? Yes, 1 Peter 2:9. No, I don't have that. Okay, I don't have that. 1 Peter 2:9. This is, I'm in 2 Peter. I'm sorry, that's not it. I said, this is not it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Praise God. Amen.
That is 1 Peter.
First Peter, but I was in 2 Peter.
Oh,
okay. So I could have said, that's not it. But, oh, my goodness. But this is an amazing scripture. We are God's special people. We are God's special treasure. Praise the Lord for that. God has chosen us as a new generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are His own special treasure, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of that dark place that we were in into His marvelous light. We are walking in the light of Jesus today.
Wow.
We are walking in His covenant.
Amen.
Everything that God has for us is available through faith in Christ alone. And I want to say it again because I don't think we have grasped the reality or the truth of this verse. Under the new covenant, God's promises are not dependent upon our obedience and holiness. It's not about earning it. It's not about performing for it. God already blessed us. This is
right.
Why I don't know if I said it last week. This is why, listen, we collect tithes, we collect offerings, we collect donations, you know, week after week. But this is why if you don't give unto the kingdom of God, God doesn't stop blessing you. He doesn't stop blessing you. He's going to continue to bless you. But what happens is that when we deposit a financial seed, amen, that when we deposit a seed, it's going to grow. And it's going to grow into a harvest. Because by faith, we are depositing that financial seed and we are putting it into good ground. And whatever ground that seed we planted in is going to produce fruit, and it's going to produce extravagant fruit on our behalf. Because we're the ones planting it. But we're planting it by faith. We're planting it with love. We're planting it generously. Amen. Because that's the type of heart that God has given us. He's still going to bless us. But we may see a larger harvest than the one that's not really giving, even though they're still being blessed by God. They still have the same benefits that we do. They still have the Holy Spirit living in them. They can still call things that are not as if they are, and they will see them come to being. They still have the power in words. They still have the power to lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. God doesn't have favoritism here. And our promises, again, they're not dependent because of our disobedience, obedience, and holiness. No, it has nothing to do with that. God has blessed us so we can be a blessing. Amen? There's communion. There's unity. There's community. You with Christ. Me with Christ. The hope of glory living in the inside of you. And honestly, it doesn't get better than that. We have every single blessing, every provision. We have it. We have it because we have God. It's ours. It's ours. And in later weeks, I'm going to teach you how to grab hold of all that God has in store for us. How to walk in divine health. How to walk in divine wealth. All that is part of God's provisions. Amen? Again, praise God. We are His treasured people. He's chosen us. He's adopted us. He has accepted us as His own. When the Lord God sees us, He sees His Son Jesus. The same, the Word of God says in 1 John 4:17, as He is, meaning as the Lord Jesus is, so are we in this world. The way Jesus walked is the same way we can walk today. The same power the Lord Jesus had is the same power we have today, because we have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is the key player in this new covenant. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I need to stop here. I apologize. It was so long. Oh, my goodness. Because we have communion today. We have communion today. Amen.